We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4, and we are continuing on this series called Convictions, What We Believe. While you're turning there, I have a little joke for you, and maybe it's funny, maybe it's not, depending on who you are, but there was an older preacher once. He was a Baptist preacher, and he was retiring, and someone asked him at his retirement party, you know, Pastor, if you weren't going to be a Baptist and you were going to be another denomination, what would you be? And he said, ashamed. That's what he said. So, preacher, I don't like that joke. That's okay. All right. We're just joking around a little bit. I once told a lady that you didn't have to be Baptist to go to heaven, but if you wanted to go first class, that was the way to go. And I'm done with my jokes, okay? And so she looked at me, and this was a true story. She looked at me and said, I am first class, buddy. And I said, I'm just joking. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. I'm just teasing. But these are convictions that, regardless if you're a Baptist or what denomination you have, that are based off Scripture, that we all should have, that are fundamental things that we should hold on to, that we should care about if you call yourself a Christian. Amen? And so regardless if you're a Baptist or what denomination you are this morning, these are things that we all should hold on to. And so we'll start in Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 12, and we'll have some of the other passages on the PowerPoint, but this first one, I want you to turn into your Bibles, okay? And it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful and is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, may we be reminded that you have given to us your word. That your word is precious. That your word is true. And that you've made no mistakes in your word. And God, you've planned it out. As you have revealed yourself through your word, that you have given us the gospel, you've shown us the way to life, and how we can experience heaven one day for all who repent of their sins and put their belief and trust in Jesus Christ. So, Father, give me the words to say. Anything that needs to be added, may through your spirit speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In April 1789, there was a mutiny aboard the HMS Bounty. And movies, in fact, have been made about this mutiny. A group of British soldiers led by Master Mate Fletcher Christian, the mutiny seized control of the ship, took the captain and the 18 other men adrift on a small boat and threw them overboard. Then they sailed to Pitcairn Island in the South Pacific. The mutineers burned and sank the Bounty in the bay and started building a community there on the island. But at that time, these British mutineers treated the Polynesians as servants. They didn't treat them very well. And when the mutineers conducted a distillery, and they also began to drink whiskey, and as you're drinking whiskey, there was much more partying and drunkenness, a lot of debauchery. It was not a good environment. But there was a man by the name of Alexander Smith that, before they burnt the Bounty, and before they burnt it, he found a Bible in a chest, and he kept it. He started to read the Bible. He started to study the Bible. And eventually he gave his life to Christ from reading the Bible. He felt led that by the Lord that he needed to start a Bible study and start teaching from the Bible in which he found. Years later, in 1808, an American ship sailing called the Topaz, reached the Pitcairn Islands. And though Alexander Smith had died already by that time, he left behind a peaceful, thriving Christian community. And there were about 50 islanders living together in peace and harmony, all of them Christians. There was no crime. There was no drunkenness. The island was, I guess you could say, kind of a Christian utopia. A little bit of a glimpse of heaven. The Bible transforms not just families, not just lives, but it transforms communities. It will transform an island. It will transform a state, a country. This book that we have that God has given us through special revelation given to us is special. It is God's Word. It's not a history book, though it contains history. It's not a scientific book, though its science hasn't quite even caught up to the Bible when it comes to some of the scientific facts that are in God's Word. I mean, there's still people who think the earth is flat, for crying out loud. The Bible calls it a sphere. Now, the transforming power of the Bible, there's nothing like it. No other human book in history has achieved such results. Not the Hindu writings, not the Buddhist writings, not the Islamic writings in the Quran, not the Book of Mormon. You could go on. Why? Because what sets this book apart from all the rest, the Bible doesn't just change our thinking. It enables us to live realistically, to distinguish reality from illusion. To correct false thinking and false teaching. The truth of the Bible is that it leads to life, not death. And anyone who builds his or her life on the message, on what it teaches, will be enriched. Will be enriched in their life. Will find blessings that they can't find anywhere else. The scriptures, though powerful, they are not magical. They're not magical. This book consists of merely paper and ink and the cover that binds it. Your Bible will not change your life if it just sits on your nightstand. It will not change your life if it just sits on a shelf. You must read it. You must study it. You must meditate on it. Every now and then someone will say, well, I've read the Bible before. I read it once. That's impressive. You read the Bible once and you know it. There's a difference, my friend. I've been studying this Bible my entire life. I started reading the Bible consistently when I was 13 years of age. Let me tell you, I learned something new every single time I read it. And the more I read it, the more I study it, the more I realize how much I don't know and how much more I need the Lord and how much more I need to study and learn and go. And if you just read it one time and you know it, man, that's impressive. I remember a pastor friend of mine, he's now with the Lord. He was an older man, but when he was a younger man, younger preacher, he would tell this story from time to time. He was going door to door at this new church he was at, and he was visiting some people who had visited the church, and he went and visited this young family, and they were there, and as they welcomed him in, and he was drinking some coffee with them, and he asked them, hey, do you have a Bible? And the lady stood up while her husband was talking to the preacher, and she went back to the room, took her a moment or two, and she brought back out a Bible. It obviously hadn't been used in a while because it had dust that was on it. Now, at that time, he was a young preacher off of a farm, not exactly polished, and he said he took the Bible, and he went, oh, and blew the dust right off the Bible right there in their living room. And proceeded to turn to, I think, John 3:16 or something like that, and gave it to them. And he didn't see them for a while, but a couple years later, they started coming to the church. And he got to know them and talk with them. And they said, do you remember that time you came to our house? And he's like, yeah, I do. Do you remember when you blew the dust off our Bible? And he's like, no, I don't. I apologize. I didn't mean to just blow the dust off. I shouldn't have done that way. And she said, it was one of the best things you ever did. Because when you blew that dust off, I felt conviction from the Lord that there was dust on my Bible. And I determined from then on out, there would never be dust on God's Word again in my house. That I was going to read it. I was going to study it. I was going to know it. And you blowing that dust. If a preacher, whether it was me or someone else, came to your home and said, where's your Bible? One, could you find it? Two, when you did find it, would there be dust on it? If there is, I'm going to blow it right off, even though I know better. All right? There's some things that we believe. We believe the Bible is a life-changing book. There's no other book like it. The Word of God is not just a collection of words from God, a vehicle for communicating ideas. It is living, life-changing, dynamic, and it works. It changes us in our lives. With the incisiveness of a surgeon's knife, God's word reveals who we are and what we're not. It penetrates to the core of our lives, of our moral and spiritual lives. It discerns both good and evil. It shapes us. Notice what it says here in Hebrews 4, that it cuts between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the marrow. There may be things that you believe in your soul, but the Spirit of God, and that's in reference to the Spirit, is something that realizes and makes us, we need to change. That we in ourselves may think we're doing okay, that we're doing all right. And the world loves to kind of pick the good out of different religions and out of Christianity. And they'll say, hey, I agree with that. I like that. But they try to make their own moral book, so to speak, internally. But that's not how God works. God wants us to read His Word, study His Word, because God's Word is what we need for Jesus is our foundation of our faith, but to lead us, to guide us, we need God's Word. And it does something to us spiritually. Why? Because it's a spiritual book. It changes us. Now, there are many other good books that are out there in life that you should read that will be beneficial for you. It said that not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers. And if you're a leader, you should be reading. Amen. There's a lot of wonderful good books that are out there in life that you should read. But the number one book you should be reading that will change you, that will shape you, that will help you, is God's Word. There are some wonderful self-help books out there. Good, read them. But the number one self-help book that will help you is God's Word. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word. It's called illumination, to speak to our hearts, to speak to our minds, to help steady us. I wonder how much of our anxiety in our lives, in our nation, in our country, in our world, how much of it would dissipate or be minimized if simply people were faithful in reading God's Word and spending time meditating upon it and spending time in prayer with the Lord. I believe we would see a great change in our lives. And now, is this something that if you just do once, it's done with and done? Maybe. But usually it's something that it takes time. It takes time to build. But this Word of God will change you. It will change you. And it's alive, it's powerful, and it is sharp. It will sting you at times. There's things that need to be taken out of your life, and it gives the idea of a surgeon taking something and cutting it out of your spiritual life. So that sounds painful. But if there's some spiritual cancer that's in your life and you want it out because it's going to mean spiritual death, that the Holy Spirit cuts through His Word, takes it out so that you can begin to heal, that you can begin to forgive, that you can begin to look forward. We need God's Word. It's interesting that we seem to be living in a world and a country that is falling apart. Marriages are falling apart, or people are just not getting married. More children are being born out of wedlock. More children are not knowing who their father, and some even who their mother, who they are. More drugs, more anxiety, more violence, more confusion, more crazy financial issues, more uncertainty. And to quote the theologian Charlie Daniels, that's a joke if you don't know what it is, they'll live by the law of the jungle and not the law of the land. Some of you know that song. And that's what we live in today. Following the law of the jungle. And I'll tell you this. Someone who owns a Bible that is falling apart, someone who has a Bible that is falling apart, usually has a life that is not falling apart. There's a connection. And if you look at our country, we've gotten away from teaching God's Word, from people knowing God's word, from Christians reading God's word, and living and using the principles of God's word. See, when we saturate our mind with scripture, we will think differently, we will act differently, we'll view life differently than the world. Scripture tells us that we have the ability to think like our Savior thinks. This is supernatural. This is spiritual. And everyone has a choice. Everyone has a choice. You can let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. And Scripture's clear. We have the ability to think like Christ thinks. He gives that to us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us to help us, to lead us, to guide us. The Word of God has changed many family trees. Sometimes people ask me from time to time, do I believe in a family curse? And the answer overall is yes, because sin is the curse. Every one of us. I mean, if you look at my line of relatives before Christ and after Christ, you'll see a line of people who were getting drunk and drunkards and so on. Same on my wife's side. I know it's the same on some of your sides. But when you end up finding where they found Christ, they stopped doing drugs, they stopped drinking, they stopped running to alcohol, and they started running to Christ with their problems instead, things dramatically, dramatically change. Divorce rate, shoo, down. Abuse, shoo, down. The physical appearance, being physically fit, feeling good, spiritually, emotionally, rises. I mean, it changes everything. It will change your family tree. A couple weeks ago, we had Ray Waltica, Pastor Ray Waltica, missionary to the Philippines, and he gave the example of how his grandpa ended up receiving that Gideon Bible. And you hear that. I've heard many of those kind of stories from preachers and Christians. I received a Gideon's Bible, and I started reading it. Maybe they were at the hotel, and they saw that they started reading the Bible out of the Gideon's Bible. And of course, it's Gideon's Bible is free to take with you. That's the whole point. They restock those. And it is for you to take, for you to read, for you to learn. Craig Rochelle, who's a pastor, pastors one of the largest churches in America, Life Church. And he got saved really reading a Gideon's Bible. I mean, God uses his word. He will use his word in your life if you let him. Someone said that took the Bible and made it an acronym. You know what stands for an acronym? It stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L, yeah. If it was kids' church, they all would have screamed it, right? That was my favorite part of kids' church. I get to scream as loud as I possibly can. But we need instruction. We're a mess without instructions. My Ford truck, F-150, best truck that was ever made, by the way. I think I mentioned that before. But it has an instruction manual, and it tells you what you need to do in order to have maintenance on it. And there's different parts on a truck that needs different maintenance and fluid changes at different times, at different mileage, and so on. Your vehicle is very similar. And so with my truck, there comes a time where you need to change the oil. It comes a time where you need to change the transmission fluid or the differential fluid from time to time for your four-wheel drive, right? And so there's things you need to change. Now, if I decide I'm going to ignore what the instruction manual says, what the owner manual says, and I say, you know what? I think I have a better idea. I've never designed a truck. I can change brakes. I can change, you know, a little bit of this and that and mess with it enough that I usually, you know, if you've ever worked on cars enough, there's always that time that you're working on a car that you go, why did I do this? And why did I do, I hate myself? Why am I working on this car? I can't figure this out. We've all been there before. But if I go, you know, I think I know better than Ford. I think I know better than the engineers. I'm going to switch where the gasoline goes and where the antifreeze goes. You know what? I haven't seen a YouTube video on this. You know, someone needs to do this. And so I make a YouTube video, and I decide I'm going to switch, the fluids here a little bit. I'm going to try to make things better. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to ruin my own truck. And then when I'm ruining my own truck, this is the society we live in today. Once I switch the fluids, and it blows up and it won't work anymore, I call the government and go, hey, someone switched these fluids here and no one told me I couldn't do it. No one told me I couldn't do it. Even though it actually was in the instruction manual not to do it. And I need Ford to pay me, to pay for a new truck. That's the world that we're living in today. That's the world that we're living in today. We're living in a world that wants God separate from everything. Now, one might look at and go, what about separation of church and state? And the whole purpose of separation of church and state is not to have a state-run church. Because you look throughout history, state-run churches, they don't usually do very well. They tend to be very oppressive, and I agree. But nowhere was the intention ever to take God completely out of our government. We have in God we trust in our money, but what we've ended up receiving in our school system is secularism, humanism, and eventually atheism. And when you end up taking God's principles out, you end up teaching them something else. And so now we're raising children who do not have fathers. Some of them do not know who their father is, thinking that they were an accident, that they were just a product of evolution, that they were a product and of just really being one big mistake, and what's really the point and purpose of life. It's vital. It's important. And so we teach there's no creator. We teach that this is all just one big mistake. And what we end up with elected officials who believe 18-year-olds couldn't understand their own student loans, but they believe 7-year-olds can choose their gender. And that's what we've ended up with. Why? Because we've gone away from the Word of God. And my friend, it's just going to get crazier the further we go away from God's Word. So what should we do? Well, we start with ourselves in reading God's Word. Then we realize, are we teaching God's Word to our family? And one of the reasons we have Awana is to teach God's Word to these children who come. And man, they do a great job memorizing God's Word and earning their rewards and so on. And man, they're doing a great job at that. But that's one of the reasons we have it, to teach God's Word. Praying with your children when you're out publicly and you're out to eat. Teach them how to pray. Teach them God's Word. Teach them the principles of God's Word. It starts with you. Then it starts with our church. Then it starts with the community. And as other churches do the same, God's Word is vital. And this is the effect the Bible has. This is what it'll have on your life. Here, I call this the Bible effect. Here's some passages just real quick. The Word of God keeps us from sin. Psalms 119, verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So why should you memorize God's word? It'll help you not sin. What sin do you struggle with? Find passages of scripture and memorize them. Say, preacher, that's the answer for my sin issue? Part of it, yes. Ask the Holy Spirit to control you, to help you, which we're told in Scripture to do every single day. Memorize God's Word. It could be that you are stuck where you're at spiritually, and you keep habitually going through this sin because you're not taking in God's Word faithfully. You're not memorizing. The Word of God helps me be joyful. It helps you in your joy. Same chapter, 119, but verses 1 and 2. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. You can't follow the instructions of the Lord if you don't know the instructions of the Lord, if you're not reading the instructions of the Lord, or if you're just going, you know what? I need to switch the antifreeze in the oil or the antifreeze in the gas, and you're going to make a mess of your life. You need God's instructions. Verse 2 says, joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Could it be that you're lacking joy in your life because you simply are ignoring the instructions that are in your lap? And no one's without excuse. No one's without excuse. Even if you don't own a Bible, you can get free Bibles, the YouVersion app. I mean, there's devotions, there's wonderful things, different translations of the Bible. You can go, say, but I don't have time to read the Bible. You have time to drive to work. You can listen to God's Word if you want. It's free on many different apps, especially the YouVersion app. Check it out. It's good. And which, by the way, guess who produced, what church produced that YouVersion app? Craig Rochelle, his church, who was saved from the Gideon's Bible just by reading it. How awesome is that? And there's been billions of downloads of that YouVersion app across the world in different languages. Listen, God's Word is multiplying. It is multiplying. There are people who take God's Word. One, we actually made parachutes for this guy when I was in Florida, these parachutes, yeah, like parachutes that are like 3-4 foot wide parachute made out of canvas, and he would drop these radios that would be powered by solar, and there would be scripture in there, and there were these rogue groups, guerrilla groups, right? Basically, just gangs of the jungle, and that were just terrorizing parts of Cambodia and other parts of the world. But he would fly out of a plane and go low, and he would release and parachute these radios that were stuck on a Christian station, and the radio would be on as they would land there in the jungle, and they would find it, and there's stories and stories of different whole jungle groups, guerrilla groups of gangs of coming to Christ. Why? They're hearing God's word, they're reading God's word, the word of God changes people. And so the word also does this, it guides us. That same chapter, verse 105, the word as a lamp to guide my feet and to light my path. God's word guides us. It helps us. The word of God helps me grow in my faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot increase your faith without reading and hearing God's word. You need it. It's vital. But the good news is in the power of every single one of us to grow in that area by being in his word. The word teaches us truth. God's word says in John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. In other words, set them apart, make them holy. Preacher, how can I become more like Jesus? How can I be more like, the Bible says, be holy for I am holy. How do I do that? How do I mature in my faith? Very simple. John 17 tells you, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He's given us his word. And so, Christian, we believe the Bible is a life-changing book. We also believe this, that the Bible is inspired by God. Notice with me on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I think I have this on. There we go. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So a great way to put it is this, and I love this quote. I don't know where I found it. I found it in one of my commentaries. The Bible is divine truth expressed in human language. The Bible is divine truth expressed in human language. All scripture. When people speak of the Bible as inspired, they're referring to the fact that God divinely influenced the human authors of the scriptures in such a way that they wrote, what they wrote was the very word of God. Now, sometimes people ask me, what about Jesus and his words? And there's some who do believe, and they teach this, sadly, even in some churches, that only the red letters, the words of Jesus, matter in the New Testament. Here's the problem with that. One, we believe from Genesis to Revelation, all of Scripture is God's word. That Jesus is God. And Jesus himself, just to give you an example, talked about Noah, Jonah, Moses, and there are many others. And other passages that are mentioned. And not just Jesus, but there's also his, in the Gospels, quote other different passages throughout the Old Testament. And by the way, when this passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy, was written, not all of Scripture had even been completed yet. We call this the canon. It had not been completed yet from Genesis through Revelation. The Old Testament completed, New Testament wasn't completed quite yet. But it says all of Scripture is in reference to of just that, all of Scripture. In the context of the Scriptures, the word inspiration simply means God breathed. The same idea of when he breathed the life into the lifeless body of Adam. He made Adam, there it is, it's lifeless, and God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and gave him the first breath. The first breath of mankind came from God. And so he's breathed life. Think about that. The same way he is He has breathed into his word. This is a special book. A special book. I remember reading a story years ago. I can't remember what country it is. It may have been Vietnam. There's a soldier, Vietnam soldier, who had a Bible. I don't know where he got it from, if he got it from one of the soldiers, but he was taking it. And of course, there by the toilet, he was ripping each page to use it for toilet paper, thinking, this American religion, it's not American religion, right? It's much bigger than that. The kingdom of God's much bigger than just one country. But as he started using it for toilet paper each and every single day, he eventually said, well, what's in this anyway? He started reading it. And you guess what happened? He came to faith. I mean, what kind of book gets used for toilet paper? And eventually they go, uh-oh, something's speaking to me here. Something. Maybe there's some truth to this. Maybe there's something more that I don't quite understand. See, because it's inspired by God, the scriptures are therefore authoritative. When it comes to establishing doctrine and sufficient teaching and showing us how we can have a right relationship with God, the Bible claims not only to be inspired by God, but also to have the supernatural ability to change us, to make us complete. What is that complete word? It's talking about maturity. It's about growing in your faith. And so I'm going to break this down, and I'm not going to get through my whole message this morning. We'll continue some of this next week, and that's okay, because we got someone we're going to baptize this morning, which I'm excited about. The purpose of Scripture is fourfold, all right? So the teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training or instruction in righteousness. So teaching. God's Word gives you the tools for life. Read them. Get into a small group. Man, we have some wonderful teachers here. And get into a small group and learn and be taught, not just by me, but by other teachers who are in this room. We have some wonderful teachers. For reproof. Reproof means that it convinces us to behave differently by rebuking us. There's times we need rebuke. There's times we need to be told, you're going this way, it's the wrong way, it's going to lead to death, it's not the best way for life, you need to turn. It leads us to repentance. And when we repent, God's word isn't just here to step on our toes. Maybe you've had a message before like, man, I stepped on my toes. But that's not the only purpose of Scripture. Scripture should also do this. It should correct us. Correction. So imagine if you didn't know much about building a building or building whatever, a shed, whatever you're building, and you're building it, and someone who is an expert builder comes along and looks at your building, and you go, oh my goodness, this is awful. And they just start showing you everything that's wrong with the building you're building. You got this wrong, you got that wrong, this is too wide, just to be closer together, and there's pointing out all these different things, like an inspector, that is wrong with your building. And you go, oh man, I don't know how I'm ever going to figure this out. But then the same person goes, but I'm going to show you exactly what you need to do. In fact, I can't be here the entire time, but I'm going to show with you, and I want you to write down exactly what I want you to do to help correct this. And a good teacher not only rebukes you, but then shows you the correct way. Mentoring you, showing you, developing you how you can do it correctly. And that's what correction really is, how to do it correctly. It's a way of restoration. And that's what Jesus wants to do with our life. He wants to save us. He wants to restore us. He wants to change us. And so it's something that he loves to do. So instruction or training in righteousness. The Greek word here gives us the idea of guiding a child to adulthood. Scripture trains us to align our behavior so that it matches our new identity in Christ. And so the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. If it's not reliable, then on what do we base our beliefs? Jesus asked for our trust, and that includes trust and what he says in his word. I'm going to end with this. I'm going to end with this. And the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Christian, God knows there's a struggle in our lives. He knows there's a struggle between what the flesh wants and desires, and the Spirit of God who lives inside of every Christian, what it wants. And we've all been there. And we're going to continue in that struggle until either the Lord comes or we pass on from this life. And we need God's Word to help us, to strengthen us, to guide us. And the amount of from TV, from videos we watch on our phones or tablets, for the average American is around 6-7 hours a day. Now, I'm not against watching TV. I'm not against watching YouTube or anything like that. But if we don't have time for the Word of God, we're getting our priorities out of whack. We're not going to grow in our faith. And as important as church is, we are bombarded every day by secular thought, by bad news, whether it's whatever social media platform you use, and we're inundated with that. And we need the Spirit of God in our lives. We need to let the Spirit of God use the Scriptures. As we meditate on the Word of God and we take it in and we soak on it and we meditate upon it, it starts to change our hearts. It will take a cold heart that's hard, and it will start to soften it for the things of God. And it will start to soften it for other people. It will take our purpose and align it with God's purpose. It will align our will and align it with our Savior's will. And Christian, the thought of just opening God's Word on Sunday and neglecting it from Monday through Saturday, and that you're going to grow in your faith, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Why is that? Because just as you would not only just eat one meal physically on a Sunday and not eat the rest of the week and expect to be healthy. We've all heard the term hangry before. Why is that? Because when we're hungry and we end up getting angry, and there's things that easily irritate us and set us off. How many Christians go through the week spiritually hangry? Father, we come to you in prayer, thankful that you have not left us out as orphans. You've not left us without instructions. You've given us your Word to lead us, to guide us, for the Holy Spirit to use in our lives to make us more and more like Jesus. So God, correct us, rebuke us, correct us, instruct us. May we hide your Word in our heart that we may not sin against you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Give me a moment to change. We're going to sing a song.